Okay, well, I thought just today in the introduction I would go divide it up into three parts, essentially. Why it's important to build solidarity with the Palestinians, why it's possible in Australia to build solidarity with the Palestinians, and then some of the lessons thus far. And obviously a lot of people in this room have sort of been involved in some of the Students for Palestine groups across the campuses, across Australia. But if you haven't, then obviously you can feel free to chuck in ideas and comments anyhow. Okay, well, to start with why it's important to build solidarity with the Palestinians in Australia. I think the first reason is that there's some moral urgency to the question. The first and most obvious thing is actually the situation for the Palestinians themselves. And really, while it's been over a year since the beginning of the war on Gaza, Palestinians' lives are still in ruins. The Israeli blockade on the territory means that Palestinians don't have access to basic foods, medicines, and even construction materials to rebuild their homes after they were bombed in early 2009. Again, Israel continues to enforce apartheid-like conditions on the Palestinians in the West Bank and those living within Israel. More checkpoints litter Palestinian territory, allowing the Israeli state to restrict Palestinian freedom of movement. Palestinian land is being carved up and then appropriated by an ever-increasing number of Israeli settlements. And as if to add insult to injury, in just the last few weeks, and Sameh talked about this on Friday in his session, the Israelis have just announced that they're going to be building over 1,600 new housing units in East Jerusalem, and that over the next 10 years they intend on building 50,000 more settlement houses. So it's a declaration, really, to continue their expansion and to continue to displace more and more Palestinians wherever they live. And, of course, the Israeli-built apartheid wall, which is three times as long and twice as high as the Berlin Wall, is really a daily reminder for Palestinians of the lack of control that they have over their own lives and over their own land. The second reason for such moral and political urgency is that the Palestinians themselves never give up. So despite over 60 years of the most horrendous oppression and repression, the Palestinians have actually maintained their steadfast commitment to winning back their rights, their lives and their homes. And in recent weeks, this has clearly been demonstrated, you know, time and time again. So as people will have seen on the news in response to the government's announcements about their own expansions, young people took to the streets to defend East Jerusalem. And in Gaza and in the West Bank, there have also been mobilisations. In response to this kind of restiveness, the Israelis cracked down and whole towns were locked down in the West Bank, in particular in Bilin and Nilin, where weekly protests have been occurring against the apartheid wall. In Gaza, that open-air prison which is Gaza, in the last couple of days there have been increased raids from the air and on land. And actually, just last night and the night before, there were more announcements that actually the Israelis have been bombing parts of Gaza in the biggest, basically, bombing attacks that have occurred since January last year. So clearly the situation is developing. The third reason is that there's some evidence that the worldwide movement is actually appreciated by the Palestinians themselves. And, you know, that a lot of the people who feel otherwise cut off from the rest of the world, when they hear the stories about the protests in Britain or Australia or America, they actually feel less alone in the world, that solidarity movement has actually mattered. And Jamil, who went on a speaking tour of the campuses for Students for Palestine across Victoria, actually talked a bit about the sorts of ways in which the movements across the world are actually recognised by some of the Palestinians who are living in refugee camps in the south of Lebanon. But they're just not the only reasons. Building solidarity with the Palestinians is also important because it ties into a movement against imperialism more generally. And this is something, you know, that is particularly important for socialists in the campaign. Should be no surprise to any of you, and if it is, we can obviously discuss it in the discussion, but that the US actually backs Israel. And the reason that Israel exists in the way it does is because of the massive levels of funding and political backing that the US gives Israel. So the USA sees in Israel its most loyal ally and a state that can shore up American capitalist power in the region whenever it seems threatened by movements from below or other threats to its interests for that matter. So the oppression of the Palestinians is tied into the domination of Iraq, Afghanistan and so forth. So a blow against Israel is also a blow against American power in the region, and therefore is a blow against American imperialism and world, capitalism, given that America is the preeminent capitalist power in the world. Another reason for solidarity is that the Australian government plays a very central role in backing Israel. So both Labor and Liberal offer unequivocal backing for Israel. And some people who are here in the room today would have been on the protest that we had at the end of last year, where we actually went outside of the, what was it called, the Park Hyatt, and, you know, protested against the wining and dining of many Australian politicians and significant figures in Australian political life, and their meeting up with Sylvan Shalom and Ehud Olmert. So clearly that is a symbolic moment because it actually represents the sort of close, heartfelt relationship that exists between Australia and Israel. And I think, you know, we also have to keep on bringing it back to the depth of commitment in that relationship, that in actual fact it is not really being challenged at all by, you know, some of the concerns that some Labor politicians have had about, you know, the fact that the Israeli government used Australian passports for basically murdering Hamas militants. And on a student level, the importance of the protesting and one of the reasons that Students for Palestine was established in the first place was an attempt to try and challenge some of the political dominance which the Zionists and their supporters have had on campuses across Australia in sort of the arena of just making it seem more acceptable to support Israel. And so Students for Palestine wants to sort of challenge that political dominance that some of these people have had on campuses, and we're attempting to change the terrain of the political debate, both in the classes, in the student unions and so forth where we are. So that's the first part of the introduction. The second part that I flagged at the beginning is on why it's possible to build solidarity, because we can all often feel like it's important to build solidarity with a variety of people across the world. The Palestinians aren't the only people who are oppressed, but why is it possible? And this is what I want to go into now. Well, there's a really long history of Palestine solidarity amongst the left in Australia. And obviously amongst migrants from the region. The student left in the 1970s, in particular on Monash and La Trobe campuses, took up a position which was quite contentious at the time of actually backing the Palestinians. And there was actually a huge debate in the Australian Union of Students, which went on, for hours and hours, apparently, around the question of what attitude to take to the Palestinian struggle, how unequivocal should people be. Clearly, in the 1970s, some of the questions about, the socialist nature of Zionism, was more dominant than it is today. And so, but, you know, obviously the political dynamics and debates of the time were more radical. So the student left actually has a long history of, debating out these questions and of being on the side of the Palestinians. But more recently, since the war on Lebanon, there has been an increasing level of cynicism towards Israel. The levels of brutality in that particular conflict definitely woke up many people across the world to the fact that the Israeli state is not a victim, indeed that it's a very powerful aggressor. And that really started to turn around on some of the campuses across Australia, attitude in the student unions and off around the nature of Israel. And so I was involved here on this campus around the Lebanon War, we actually for the first time started to really take up the questions of the Palestinians, the war on Lebanon, obviously sort of managed to draw in a lot of young Lebanese people into that campaign, but more particularly there started to be sort of groups that were organising students against war and racism is what it was called at the time. But then, you know, it at least laid the basis for some people to be starting to campaign around other questions. Since Gaza, that sort of sentiment has definitely deepened. Protests that happened across Europe and Australia were significantly sized and were actually larger than pro-Palestinian protests for years. And this is also despite the fact that in the rest of the Arab world, some of the protests in support of the Palestinians around Gaza were smaller than, around the sort of beginnings of the Second Intifada, for instance. But across Europe and across, other countries in Britain and America and in Australia, those protests were actually larger. So it's sort of an interesting conundrum in a way, but I think it poses something about the breaking apart of the dominance of Israeli rhetoric about their place in the world, about, you know, their claims that they are the only civilized power in the Middle East. And out of all of that, the boycott, divestment and sanctions campaign has picked up fairly significantly. In Western Europe and in France and in Britain and in America, academic boycotts, boycotts of film festivals and protests all continue apace. And I think partly that sort of movement is actually aided by the fact that there are more horrific, in some ways, investments which, you know, are linked to some of the most heinous sort of military industrial complexes in Israel, whereas in Australia, you know, that sort of movement hasn't taken off as much. But, you know, and partly I think it's a reflection of in Melbourne, for instance, we've sort of tried to find, you know, what the appropriate targets would be, and the best we could come up with is Max Brenner, which is a chocolate shop. And so, you know, it doesn't have the same dynamic sort of protesting against people drinking chocolate as it does, you know, protesting against Caterpillar or some company which is actually making heavy weaponry and arms, which are then immediately going out and, you know, killing Palestinians in Gaza or the West Bank. Significantly also, a small number of trade union federations have backed this movement. So in Britain, in South Africa and Ireland and in Australia, a section of the Australian Council of Trade Unions has actually recently been on a fact-finding mission to Palestine and came back with some fairly sympathetic reports. And actually, one of the women from that is considering coming to speak at the Students for Palestine forum that's coming up. So that's positive. And obviously, amongst students across Britain and in the United States, there's been ongoing activity. So there were occupations at the start of last year in Britain and in the United States, as Ashley Smith reported on in the Palestine session, which happened yesterday, the day before. At the University of Berkeley, they've managed to win a vote to argue that their university divest from their university's investment in a major arms producer linked to Israel. Similarly, also in Australia, there are other groups which already exist to campaign around Palestine. So, for instance, the existence, the pre-existing existence, that's a phrase, of Australians for Palestine has actually enabled Students for Palestine in Victoria in particular, but in other states as well, to actually have some support, some financial backing, which has been greatly appreciated, and it's given some legitimacy in some ways to the Students for Palestine groups. Okay, so on to some of the lessons from Students for Palestine thus far. And these are only a few of them, and I sort of hoped we could have a bit more of an informal discussion where we could all just throw in some of our experiences and so forth. And this isn't particularly about some of the socialist lessons, but more sort of campaigning lessons. But we can obviously talk about some of the difficulties and, you know, the balance that we've sort of had to strike between, you know, being a socialist and being an activist in the campaign and how that's played out. So Students for Palestine, or Students for Gaza, as it was actually launched at the beginning of the war on Gaza, at the beginning of last year. It was launched initially in Melbourne, but then spread across the country to campuses in Sydney, Queensland and Canberra. And some of those groups are still doing things today and also in Perth. because we've got some of the Perth comrades here. So we've sort of, in some of the states, mainly doing things with some other existing Palestine groups. You know, in other states, we've sort of, you know, not as committed to Students for Palestine in terms of doing things on a weekly basis, but, you know, we sort of spread things out a little bit further. So many of the key activists felt that it was important at that time to have a group of people who were committed to doing ongoing work around Students of Palestine and who could try and establish what we thought at the time was important to try and do, which was to have a more left-wing student group around Palestine. And so we didn't just want a group which would be totally dominated by you know, some of the most right-wing ideas about Palestine. We didn't want a group which would be established and would have, for instance, in its founding constitution or whatever, criticism of Israel, but also criticism of Palestinian terrorism, like some of the Palestinian pro-Palestine groups in Australia actually do have. So we actually wanted to have, you know, something which established a more left-wing orthodoxy around the questions of Palestine on the campuses across Australia. And maybe that's a discussion we can have afterwards, why we wanted to do that, how that sort of has played out over time. So in Melbourne, in January and February, we held a number of cross-campus meetings which attracted about 60 people and then laid the basis for an argument to continue campaigning even after the Israeli offensive was over. We held a die-in, which is where you all lie on the ground and sort of chalk around you and pour red paint and stuff as a sort of graphic illustration of the situation in Gaza. We held that just before O-Week had begun, and that was quite successful. And since then, in Victoria, we've actually seen the groups set up on La Trobe, Melbourne Uni, Monash, Swinburne and RMIT, and we've had pro-Palestine events at Deakin and Victoria University. We've had regular cross-campus meetings, and the cross-campus groups hold reasonably regular events. In Victoria, as well as in some of the other states, we've called demonstrations, all of which have got along hundreds of people. And I think having those demonstrations have been a really key role and thing that the Students for Palestine have done, because the other Palestine groups which exist across Australia are not committed to public demonstrations in the same way. A lot of them much more have the orientation of just attempting to educate, so they put a lot of emphasis on their websites or on public meetings which are informative, whereas Students for Palestine has brought onto the political scene in Australia more of an argument that we need to actually protest. We need to get out on the streets. We're not prepared to simply just talk about the issues. We need to have more of an element of defiance, and, you know, that we actually want to take that defiance onto the streets. So that's one thing, and we've also done a variety of other, you know, of the more educational things as well. So some of the lessons. Well, I think one of the lessons has been being determined and really grasping the mettle. So from the beginning of the Gaza war, it was really important to leap into action and activity. Really, no one ever gets anywhere by being passive. And really, I think the general mantra that it's always better to get out and make a fuss than to sit and, you know, wait and just be cautious about things, I think that is right. And all of that has required putting aside some time and some energy. And particularly when the battle was raging or when some important issue has come up, that has been important. And that leads into the second lesson. I think it's been very important to try and relate to issues around Palestine as they come up, partly because the issues around Palestine have been much more in the press than they have historically. It's been important to, A, stay on top of those issues, but then, B, if something particularly heinous is in the press, then we'll try and make something out of that, you know, blow up the posters, have them big around the stalls, you know, around the latest sort of issue we called meetings around, you know, what's the exactly is the relationship between the United States and Israel, why, for instance, when Obama won the Peace Prize, what is his actual attitude towards the Palestinians? And these have all been meetings which have actually been quite successful. But we couldn't have called them if we hadn't have actually stayed on top of the issues ourselves, being the people who are most following the issues and actually attempting to, you know, seriously stay on top of it all. A third thing was just getting the student unions on board. Being a student group, Students for Palestine has learnt that it's been quite important to try and get the weight of the student unions behind us. They are, you know, on a lot of campuses, quite serious bodies that students still look towards. And during the Gaza War, we actually tried to get the student unions to pass motions against Israel. We had more or less success around that, and we can discuss more of that later. Obviously, on some of the campuses, like out at Monash, you know, we met a very, very hostile response. At other campuses like Swinburne, where Damien was president at the time, we unsurprisingly got a good response. thanks to Damien. And, you know, at the end of the year, a number of the campuses actually ran in the student union elections around Palestine in an attempt to, draw a lot of the students who felt like Palestine was an important issue, but to actually draw them into the campus life. And so that was useful on two fronts, that it was important to actually try and, get the issue of Palestine into the broader campaign arena, but then also to try and draw some of those activists back into student union politics and to give them more of a sense of the way that things are and how things run. Then there's all the lessons that we've learned about getting in touch with other groups on campus who might be significant and sympathetic, so the Islamic students or the Malaysian students or other anti-war groups on the campuses. And this is something that we can discuss more in the discussion, because we've had a lot of different questions and issues about how exactly we've done that, how successful we've been, some of the hostilities that we've encountered, and how we've sort of dealt with them. And so I think we should sort of flesh that out a bit more in the discussion. Finally, I think one of the central lessons that we've learnt has been finding and building a core of people who are actually really committed to Students for Palestine. And, you know, this has actually meant a lot of very detailed work. It's meant, you know, the people who are already convinced to do it actually systematically meeting up with people, talking through the issues, trying to convince them not to just come to the big events, but actually to come on a regular basis to the organising meetings, to putting aside a bit more of their time in the week to actually supporting the Palestinians and, you know, doing what they can amongst their networks or wherever they are to be involved in that. So finally, and to return to one of the first points, I think one of the major lessons for Students for Palestine has been trying to have a certain sense of determination about us. That campaign groups, you know, pretty much all of them go through ups and downs. There are peaks and troughs in any sort of campaign life. But remaining firm and solid and committed to doing the regular work has, up until now, I would argue, really paid off. That in Australia, while the Israeli government is obviously ramping up their hostilities towards the Palestinians, we have managed to maintain, both on the campuses and on the streets to a certain extent, a pro-Palestine voice in Australian society. And I don't think, even though it's small, I don't think that that's something to underestimate. So.